Welcome to the Reading Room, the Diagnostic Imaging Podcast. I am Jeff Hall, Senior Editor for Diagnostic Imaging. In our latest podcast episode, the second part of a multi-part podcast, we'll be discussing the diagnostic performance of abbreviated breast MRI in comparison to other screening modalities. The panelists will also share their thoughts on key sequences to include in abbreviated breast MRI protocols. I am pleased to be joined on this podcast episode by doctors Stamatia Destunis, Emily Conant, and Habib Rabar. Dr. Destunis is the managing partner of Elizabeth Wendt Breast Care in Rochester, New York. Dr. Destunis is the chair of the American College of Radiology's Breast Imaging Commission and a member of the ACR's Board of Chancellors. Dr. Conant is a professor emeritus with the Department of Radiology at the University of Pennsylvania Health System. Dr. Rabar is a professor and executive vice chair of radiology at the University of Washington School of Medicine. Now let's get to the questions for Dr. Destunis, Dr. Conant, and Dr. Rabar. You touched upon this earlier, but how does the diagnostic performance of abbreviated breast MRI compare with full protocol breast MRI and other breast cancer screening modalities?
It's clear MRI-based approaches and contrast-based approaches where we inject some sort of vascular marker of cancer are going to be the most sensitive tools that we have. That's very, very clear. So anything that's X-ray based or just anatomic based that doesn't include that additional vascular information is not going to have the ability to catch as many cancers. And that's been established with lots of different studies. So in terms of catching the most cancers, we know MRI or CEM or similar types of vascular based studies are going to be the most sensitive tests that we have in our armamentarium for breast cancer detection. The real question ultimately then is, how do we determine to improve, if we know we want to catch the most cancers, how do we get to the best combined sensitivity and specificity? What's the right interval for these people to be screened? Who should get the supplemental screening? And then potentially, can some of these tools that are considered supplemental screening be eventually standalone tests and don't need the older X-ray-based studies? And I think that's an area of continued required research. We know that CEM, contrast enhanced mammography, is probably a little bit more specific than MRI, so a little fewer false positives, but at a cost of a little bit of a sensitivity hit. And that's probably due to the fact that the conspicuity of some of the lesions is not quite as dramatic on CEM, and sometimes we don't visualize the area because it's too far posterior, it's out of the field, it's not technically the location of the cancer is harder to see because it's more posterior, closer to the chest wall, as Dr. Conant was alluding to with MRI. And so I think we're pretty clear on that. With ultrasound, we know that we'll catch a few additional cancers, maybe double what we catch with mammography, but not nearly the level that we catch with contrast-based approaches, and a much higher hit on our specificity and false positives. A lot more follow-ups that were required of women when we do ultrasound-based screening. So, in my opinion, vascular-based screening is the way to go if we're going to do an additional test based on the data that we have. I still prefer MRI because I think it's the best tool that we have. But CEM and other contrast-based approaches have a real role too, because there could potentially be improved access and it might be cheaper for us to implement in some areas as well.
So I think that the difference between a diagnostic, full protocol MRI and the abbreviated, we don't have all those points on the graph. So the specificity may take a little bit of a hit. We may end up calling back a few more people. So we don't have the most optimal protocol for abbreviated yet. That's not standardized. I think once we need a standardized or at least standardization to be able to all move in that direction and collect metrics and more meaningful data. But I do think, that's the little bit of hit that abbreviated MRI may have because it is very sensitive, but perhaps because we don't have all those points, we may have some false alarms, some false positives, and some callbacks more so than with the full protocol MRI.
And it will be really interesting to address all of the great issues. Is reimbursement? We need
That could
that.
take hours.
And what, yeah. And how much is this worth to, it's the cancer detection is remarkable. But for people to really implement it, there needs to be a standardized reimbursement for this. And I think that there's been enough data and enough publications and enough good studies to show that the sensitivity for the otherwise not symptomatic, basically a screening patient with dense breasts, I think, or with high volume of glandular tissue, parenchymal complexity, whatever. We'll have to figure those things out. Really, this should be a reimbursed study
Yes.
without out-of-pocket payment necessarily, because it's going to downstream save money.
I think the
And I think there's so
concern is
much.
where do you go with that? And then they're not going to just give us like a 50% or 70% or whatever CPT code equivalent. They're probably go what we're going to get is reevaluation of all of MRI. So the concern is that this may turn out to be kind of a hit all across the board for many of us that have breast MRI practices in an outpatient private setting. And I can tell you it's not a money maker. We're just breaking even because we don't get the high reimbursement from the full protocol. So I think that there's some concern there about what a new CPT code may look like for us.
I do agree. And one of the important things to realize about particularly MR, because you've got to get on the table in the, you're prone, the breasts are in light compression, you've got to get the woman comfortable, you've got to get the IV, you've got to inject it. There's a lot of additional time that is sort of in the room time. And we measured that in one of our studies, and that's not necessarily as much as when you do a contrast mammo, and certainly not what you when you do a screening ultrasound. So there is value in the time that the technologists, et cetera, are needed for the study that has the higher sensitivity.
This was discussed a bit earlier, but can you expound upon key imaging sequences for abbreviated breast MRI and how they impact lesion characterization and recall rates?
T2.
Deep.
I mean, the T2 is the longest sequence. And
I love my T2. You're not taking that away from me.
it takes literally, but to quantitate it, I don't know about you guys, but in our system, it takes like 4 minutes to do a T2 versus the pre-contrast, post-contrast T1 is like 2.3, 2.5 minutes. And so, if you remove it, wow, you could be more efficient. Again, remember, it takes a lot of time to get the patient, she's in the room, she's getting on the table, all of that. But and there is data that shows that the T2 impacts outcomes less than 5% of the time in published studies. I don't believe that myself. I think it's more common than that. But I don't know how much more we could skinny it down. Habib, do you have any ideas?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. So I mean, abbreviated MRI protocol is like a very heterogeneous concept. Christiana Cole's first paper on it was really just a pre-post contrast type of examination and the subtraction-based series based on that, including the subtracted MIPS. Others have added T2, and that's I think probably more common overall from when people do abbreviated MRIs to add that T2 weighted series. I do agree that T2 adds specificity, especially when we've got small little dots of enhancement that people sometimes refer to as foci, as well as small benign appearing masses. And there's some good data around that that Lars Grimm and colleagues have published on full protocols where T2 is helpful in that regard. We don't have really robust data, in my opinion, on abbreviated MRI comparing head to head in patients. Like if we randomize patients to one type of protocol versus another protocol, what series are going to be most valuable for improving specificity? And that's really, I think, what we're talking about is how do we improve the specificity? I think T2 is probably the most common and one of the best ones that we have in our experience. When we did reader studies, we really found the T2 to be helpful. I do think ultrafast series, and that's a confusing term, which because sometimes people consider that to be a standalone, separate form of abbreviated MRI. But mostly, what I consider ultrafast is taking advantage of the gap of time where we're typically waiting and for the contrast to get into the breast, like Dr. Conan was talking about earlier, where we're just hoping for the contrast to be in the right timing. We sometimes have to wait a little bit of time so that contrast can make it, and that's time that's sort of dead scanner time. That if we scan really quickly and evaluate the upswing of the contrast in that time frame, that actually has been shown with some studies to provide improved specificity and decrease false positives. So I think that that's an opportunity in abbreviated protocols because it doesn't typically add much time, maybe one additional scan for the baseline pre-contrast. So you were talking about 5 or 6 seconds of additional scan time if you have your scanner up and running really well with good software. I like diffusion weighted imaging personally. But you've got to have an environment that knows how to do it well because it's filled with lots of artifacts. And I find that to be helpful, particularly with masses. So if you can make your protocol really efficient and you can squeeze in those additional things, I think that can improve your specificity. On the whole, I think this in the screening setting, this is mostly important in the prevalent round because it's that initial round screening where we have never seen the breast before. We don't know what types of enhancement has been there in the past that we were going to call additional things that are not really cancer. And once we have that baseline, we're really looking for differences, especially in postmenopausal women who don't have as much fluctuation in their background parenchymal enhancement. So I think we might get to the point where we know to do this, to do certain series in the only certain at the prevalent round. I'll just say one other thing. I came across a really cool article from an important investigator named Ritsa Mann, who's out in the Netherlands, and he looked at the idea of adaptive MRIs using AI, where AI is evaluating the initial scan to see are there likely to be abnormalities, and then deciding, okay, there's likely abnormalities, let's throw in additional series. And that could be an even more exciting way to be more tailored and efficient around which patients get additional series.
I think that's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
And a quick
It is.
turnaround in the AI, chatbot back to you.
So the thing with diffusion weighted, I think I agree with Habib. You have to be trained and you have to know how to utilize it because there's such a lack or paucity of, again, standardized protocols. And you're going to end up right having that some false positives and false negatives. So you kind of have to be well trained. And you kind of, we all have to work towards some standardization of protocols here so we can all start to collect some data that's meaningful to help us, because this is an exciting field, but it's all quite new. And there's a lot of variables.
Just another quick comment that I've wondered about. When we looked at our patients who had and our published paper recently in February, I think 2025, sequential abbreviated MRs, the question of how often should we do them since they're contrast. I mean, I'm such a big believer in yearly mammograms, but is it going to be the same when we have such a dynamic contrast image? And I think that that's a really active place that's going to make it maybe more cost effective, perhaps. So I think that that's a future area to analyze as well.
Right. And, I think we kind of didn't talk a lot, or maybe we did. We talked about breast density, but the intermediate breast patients, those that somehow fall between the cracks, I think this is a great opportunity for abbreviated MRI. We know we're finding more cancers. The patients that have high risk lesions, patients with personal history of breast cancer that don't have dense breasts. There's benefit there because, I know our own study that we published, we had such a large cancer detection rate in those intermediate risk populations by adding the MRI to their screening in addition to the mammogram.
I think we have a long way to go on better risk assessment, as you're suggesting. Yes.
I'd like to thank Dr. Destunis, Dr. Conant, and Dr. Rabar for sharing their insights on this topic. I would also like to thank the listeners for joining us in the Reading Room, the Diagnostic Imaging Podcast. As always, visit diagnosticimaging.com for the latest news and perspectives in radiology.